بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم، نحمده ونصلي على رسوله الكريم، أما بعد. We are busy discussing the four actions to acquire the friendship of the love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. فعارف بالله عزت مولانا شاه محمد حكيم أختر صاحب رحمه الله. We went through three of them. The last one, the fourth action, is to protect the heart. So, very quickly again, one is to keep the pants above the ankles, then to have a beard to the extent of a foot's length, and then to protect the gaze, and lastly to protect the heart. Together with the protection, or with protecting the gaze, it is also necessary to protect the heart. Some people protect the gaze of the eyes but do not protect the gaze of the heart. This means that they protect the eyes from casting lustful glances, but they do not protect the heart from thinking of beautiful faces. By means of such thoughts and imaginations, they derive haram pleasure. One should understand well, this is also haram. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala declares, يَعْلَمُ خَائِنَةَ الْأَعْيُنِ وَمَا تُخْفِي السُّدُورِ. Allah ta'ala knows the deception of the eyes and the secrets of the heart. Allah ta'ala is aware of the haram pleasure that you will derive in your heart. One pious person states, the deceptions of the eyes and the secrets of the hearts, you are all aware, O most independent one. It is not sinful if the previous sins come to mind. Rather, it is sinful to bring these thoughts to mind. If an evil thought comes to mind, one will not be taken to task for it. However, when an evil thought comes to mind, it is haram to thereafter entertain that thought by thinking further about it, or to deliberately think of past sins and derive pleasure from it, or to plot committing a sin in the future. Many a times a person makes tawbah and is regretful, is remorseful, and he makes a lot of istighfar, but then sometimes when he's with his friends or people around him, then he starts recalling the past incidents and how we used to do this and what sins or what we used to entertain ourselves with. And then this is shaitan's trick again to slowly get him involved in that sin again. So once a person makes tawbah, that's the end of it. The chapter is closed. Can continue making tawbah istighfar. And if the thoughts of the previous sins come to mind, there's no harm in that in itself. But then once a person realizes, then to further think about that and to go down that route in one's mind, and then after that slowly deriving haram pleasure from it, that is sinful. One of the du'as of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam to recite on this occasion is, O Allah, Allahumma ja'al wasawisa qalbi khashyataka wa dhikrak. O Allah, make the whisperings of my heart your means of your fear and your remembrance. So a person, when this thought comes to mind, then as soon as a person realizes, then he should make istighfar, he should recite ta'awud, and make the dhikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and get involved in some other work, because the nafs is such that it cannot concentrate on two things at one time. So a person gets, even if it means his worldly work, so to take the mind off that, this will be a means of us being safe from that sin again in the future. These aspects will incur the displeasure of Allah ta'ala. Another severe harm of thinking evil is that the desire to commit sins is intensified. As a result, there is a great danger that one will become physically involved in sin. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protect us and save us from these haram actions. By the barakah of being protected from these sins, it will inshallah become easy to remain safe from all other sins. So as I mentioned previously, this is not everything. But if a person brings these actions in his life, if he is careful about these things, then inshallah it's a stepping stone for him to become to stay away from all the other evils and all the other sins, because these are generally very difficult on a person's nafs. And with this mujahada, inshallah, with time Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will make it easy for him to abstain from the other sins, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will bless us with his muhabbat. Inshallah, perhaps maybe it's the last day of Ramadan, so we should engage in a lot of istighfar, ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for forgiveness for all our sins, and also together with that, ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for acceptance for all our deeds, for ourselves, to the ummah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Just briefly, some sunnats with regard, some revision with regard to the sunnats of Eid. Just read through a few of them, inshallah. One is the sunnats of any action when it comes to the way of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. We should make this conscious intention that sometimes a person is doing some action, maybe it's fulfilling the sunnah, but he doesn't have this intention of sunnah, then he won't get the true benefit. Rather, if a person makes the intention, I'm doing this action, for example, he's eating with his right hand, sometimes it becomes a habit, but to consciously bring this to mind, that this is the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, then a person will get more benefit and it be increase his connection with Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So on the night of Eid, the hadith of Rasulullah ﷺ mentions on the two nights of Eid, if a person spends it in the ibadah of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala with the hope of reward, then this person's heart will not die on the day when the other hearts will die. And what's the meaning of this? Different explanations. One is that when there is fitna, when there is evil, then this person will be protected, inshallah. The other meaning is that when the trumpet is sounded, this person will not become unconscious when the announcement of Qiyamah is being made. So some of the sunnats of Eid, to awaken earlier than usual, to brush the teeth with the miswak, to have a ghusl. As mentioned now also that sunnat ghusl, with the intention of sunnah. So sometimes we are doing these actions, but without the intention of sunnah, inshallah we'll get rewarded, but the true benefit we won't achieve. Then to be well dressed in an Islamic manner. To dress in one's best clothes, not necessarily new. So whatever clothing a person has, the best clothes, but obviously it should be according to Shariat, according to Deen. Then to use itar, and then to perform Eid Salah at the Eidgah, an open ground. So sometimes there's, in this masjid also, there's Eid Salah taking place. If there's no real excuse, then it shouldn't be out of convenience that we should perform it. As far as possible, if we got the health, we got the strength, then we should go to the Eidgah. Then to go to the place early, to walk to the place of Eidgah if it is within walking distance. Then to read the takbirat on the way to the place of the prayer for Eidul Adha silently and Eidul Fitr. And Eidul Fitr. So to Eidul Adha we should read it loudly, and Eidul Fitr, which is perhaps maybe tomorrow, then read it silently. Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar. La ilaha illallah, Allahu Akbar. Allahu Akbar wa lillahi alhamd. Then to read two rakats wajib salatul Eidain without any adhan and iqama. It is forbidden to say nafil prayer in the Eidgah, either before or after the salatul Eidain. So at the Eidgah we shouldn't read our nafil salah. Then to read two rakats nafil prayer on reaching home. So the salah, there's no nafil salah after the fajr salah. The salah is the salah of the Eid salah. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us tawfiq to practice, inshallah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accept our ibadat. One more thing is the sadaqatul fitr. If we haven't discharged it, inshallah we should discharge it before. This is a means of our fasting being, all the deficiencies being covered up, and a means of provision for the poor. This is our deen, that we don't only worry about ourselves, but we worry about the whole ummah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accept and grant us tawfiq. Subhanallah.